Welcome to another edition of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we are doing these programs now via the internet alone. We're no longer on those two radio stations that this program was formerly broadcasted on, stations in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Pensacola, Florida. We are now exclusively on the internet and will be permanently. We no longer are doing the radio broadcast, but this program, Studying the Scriptures, will continue and needs to continue. So with that said, we will call them Studying the Scriptures, and we'll have weekly editions teaching vital doctrine from the Word of God. And we are in our lengthy and ongoing series, The Great Doctrines of the Bible. The primary purpose for this series is to educate Bible-believing Christians in the historic essentials of the Christian faith that comprise Christian orthodoxy. By orthodoxy, we mean correct and true doctrine, as opposed to incorrect and heretical doctrine. And the best way, I think, to educate the church concerning right doctrine, as it is found in the Scriptures, is to give an overview of each major doctrine that we find in the Bible. Hence the title of this series, The Great Doctrines of the Bible. Which brings us to our current subject. We are looking at the doctrine of sin in Scripture, or what systematic theologians have called hamartiology. And as I said before, hamartiology is based on the Greek word hamartia, which means to miss the mark, to fall short of a standard. And within the context of Scripture, it refers to sin. Sin is the failure to do what God wants us to do. Sin is the failure to obey God's law perfectly. And we've been looking at different subjects dealing with sin that the Scripture teaches about. And currently we are looking at the origin of sin. The origin of sin did not come from man. It came from an angelic being called Lucifer, whom God created along with the myriads of angels, the angels in heaven. Now, God did not create Lucifer as the devil. It was through the perverse misuse of free will that Satan and all the angels were given, that Satan chose against God. Now, keep in mind that the devil is a fallen angelic being who wields great power and has wrought great destruction and harm upon humanity. But in all that, we must remember that he is still God's devil. Now, by that I mean that Lucifer, Satan, the devil, is not free to do whatever he wants to do. God allows him a certain perimeter to operate in, and if he should exceed that perimeter, God will, of course, pull the chain back and bring Lucifer back into the bounds of God's sovereignty. Good example is Job. Satan falsely accused Job before the throne of God, accusing Job of serving God only because of the prosperity and blessings he was receiving from God. And God allowed the devil to afflict Job severely to prove to the world and to Satan and throughout all time that Job was serving God not for what God gave him but for who God is. So the devil can only do what God permits him to do. He is not his own ruler who can do whatever he pleases. He can only do what God permits him to do. So I just wanted to mention that as we talk of the origin of sin, and I believe this is part three. Well, we looked at the nature of Lucifer's sin. We said that it was made up primarily of three things: pride, covetousness, and self-will. We were talking, I believe, about Lucifer's covetousness. He had desired to be like God. His pride, his temptation to be like God by usurping and throwing God out and replacing him, came from lust. An inordinate lust or covetousness is defined as an inordinate and illegitimate desire to want something that does not rightfully belong to you. And this is exactly the sin that Satan the devil fell into when he refused to continue to serve God as his loyal and loving subject. And this lust was born out of pride. The mother of all sins is pride. The 10th commandment, we are told in Exodus 20:17, is, you shall not covet. You shall not covet. God had forbidden any angel to worship other than the only God and Creator. Angels were created to lovingly do the will of God and direct their worship to Him. It is here that Lucifer coveted the worship and praise that rightly belonged alone to God. Psalm 103:19-22. Revelation 4:11, 5:11-14. Satan's inordinate desire rose up within his being. And this has been true since Lucifer fell into the sin of pride and covetousness. He has always wanted to be worshipped as God. So rather than just come right out and reveal himself as the devil wanting worship, he has created all these false religions to counteract and counterfeit Bible-believing, Bible-based Christianity. He has created all these religions to counteract and counterfeit the Judeo-Christian faith once delivered unto the saints, so that all these gods produced from these false religions really trace their origin back to Satan, who wants to receive worship. So he'll create a god and convince people, deceive them into worshiping that false god. And really in the end they're worshiping the one who's created the religious counterfeit, and that would be Satan the devil. But he has to settle for such an indirect worship because most people would run in the opposite direction if they knew they were worshiping the insidious and evil being Lucifer, Satan. So Satan, like a deceiver, creates false religions and hides behind all these different gods to receive worship he desires. Now there was one person that he flat out asked to be worshipped, and that was the Son of God himself. He came to him as he was, Lucifer the devil, asking Jesus that if he would fall down and worship him, he would give Jesus all the kingdoms of the present age. All the kingdoms of the present age. When the devil finally acts to be worshipped, when he is kicked out of heaven in the middle part of the 7-year tribulation, that would be 3.5 years into it, he will desire worship in the person of the Antichrist. And this will culminate in the abomination of desolation when the Antichrist goes into the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and demands to be worshipped as God and seeks to exalt himself above all that is called God or worshipped. 2 Thessalonians 2, Matthew 24, 15, Revelation 11. Remember when he approached Jesus during Jesus' 40 days of temptation in the desert? Matthew 4:9. He showed the Lord Jesus all the glories of the kingdoms of this world, and then told him, Satan speaking to Jesus, told him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus replied that all creatures were created to worship the Lord God and serve Him only. Matthew 4:10. Matthew 4:10. But really, we find Satan's covetousness and his pride and his desire to be exalted above God, replacing God, in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14:12-14, a passage we have visited in depth before when we were doing our study on the doctrine of Satan and demonology. Isaiah 14:12-14, verses 12 through 14. This is where we find the self-will of Satan. And remember, all three elements involved in sin, pride, covetousness, and self-will, work together. Pride is the seedbed germinating these two other elements of what sin is. And the middle letter in sin is I. And all throughout Isaiah 14, we hear Satan saying, I, five times. He makes this declaration about what he will do. Well, as pride led to covetousness, so covetousness leads to self-will. And this is exactly how the sin of Lucifer, the first sinner, the author of sin, began his descent into sinfulness and, quite frankly, rebellion and madness. Lucifer's pride and inordinate desire led him to turn the free will God had given him against God's will. So in this self-will, this defiant self-will, the devil's act was a deliberate act of the will, as all sin is. As all sin is. The prophet Isaiah, in speaking of Lucifer's fall, says this in Isaiah 14:12-14. He lists five I will expressions that Satan declared when he decided to rebel against God. The first is, I will ascend into heaven. Second, I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Let's look closer at these five wills of Satan. First, he says, I will ascend into heaven. Ascend simply means to go up, to be lifted up from a lower realm to a higher realm. So, Satan was not happy with the station assigned to him by the Creator. And that was one of service and worship to God. I believe John Milton, in his famous Paradise Lost, before Satan is thrown into the pit, he says, better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. What a brilliant, brilliant insight into the heart of the devil that I think John Milton accurately captures. Satan would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. Of course, he won't be ruling in hell. That's the deception here. He will be chained, confined, and imprisoned there for 1,000 years during the time Jesus physically reigns on this earth. And at the end of Messiah's 1,000-year kingdom on earth, Satan then will be cast into the lake of fire. So he won't be ruling in hell or the lake of fire. He will be imprisoned and then permanently consigned in his damnable state in the lake of fire. The devil was not satisfied with being assigned a subordinate and serving position before God. So he decided that he was going to ascend above God. Secondly, Satan sought self-exaltation against God when saying, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Satan has a throne. Therefore, he rules over a kingdom. And we know this from our Lord's statements concerning Satan and the hierarchical rank and order below him, consisting of all the demons, the fallen angels that joined him in his rebellion against God. Satan has a kingdom, and he is a ruler over the fallen angels, and God has allowed him to be the ruler of the present world system, to be ruler over the unsaved. Now again, this doesn't mean that Satan's rulership is greater than God's, or can successfully abort God's plan for man. No, it cannot. Satan rules by permission from God, the ultimate and supreme ruler. But here Satan seeks to exalt himself when he says, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." This was to set his seat above the other angelic hosts and take the position of leadership. So Satan sought to exalt himself. All satanic pride centers around the exaltation of self. The late Anton LaVey, founder of the Satanic Church and author of the Satanic Bible, surprisingly did not believe in a literal devil, a literal supernatural devil. He believed that Satanism embodied the philosophy of self or selfishness, and that part is right. I mean, there is a literal devil. He is a supernatural angelic being, but his philosophy is the philosophy of self. Self preferred over God, self preferred over others. That is the heart of satanic philosophy and sin. And unfortunately, mankind in his fallen state has followed after this philosophy, starting in the Garden of Eden, seeking to promote and prefer selfish desires above God's beneficent will. That is the essence of sin, you could say. Third, Satan sought self-enthronement in his sin against God. He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So again, that's a very interesting term that he uses there. To sit in the sides of the congregation of the north. Some believe that this mount of the congregation was the throne of God in the heavenly city called New Jerusalem. The highest point of that heavenly city, and that heavenly city is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles tall. And the tallest point would be the throne of God. So some believe that Satan was referring to that throne of God in the heavenly city that the book of Revelation talks about. And he was trying to remove God from his throne. This self-enthronement of the devil on the mount of the congregation involved the desire for the worship of other angelic beings, and also it shows us that Satan sinned in the very presence of God, no doubt standing on his throne. One day he decided to turn against the Creator and rebel. It did not catch God off guard, because God knows the secret of the heart, the psalmist tells us, and that would include what's going on in the inside of man or angel. So nothing caught God by surprise concerning Satan's fall. Moving on. So Satan's self-will led him into self-ascension, self-exaltation, self-enthronement. Satan's self-will also led to the illusion of self-dependence. Now, there's nothing wrong with being independent in the respect that you are a mature adult, capable of working, making a living, and if you have a family, supporting your family. That's not what we're talking about here. When we talk about self-reliance or self-dependence, we're talking about a godless attitude that says, I do not need God in my life. I don't need Him ruling over me. I don't need Him telling me what to do, and I will not serve him. I prefer what I want and what I want to do above my Creator. That, my friend, is satanic self-dependence, or independence. And this was epitomized when Satan said, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. The fourth I will proclamation of the devil in Isaiah 14. Excuse me. Satan said, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. This not only involves self-ascension, but seeking for a position and independence above God. So Satan just didn't want to be God's equal and have some type of divine partnership. He wanted to be greater than God in his rebellion against God. All beings were created and thus were to be dependent upon God, their creator. Something the atheist bristles at. He does not, the atheist prefers self-dependence and independence above and over against God. And if that means denying God's existence to do that, then the atheist foolishly will do so. Satan sought to be independent from God in that he wanted to imitate, counterfeit, and replace God. In this, he repudiated dependence upon God, believing that he was self-sufficient and could get along without God. However, the Most High alone is self-dependent. He relies on no one for his being. God is a independent God. He is self-existent. He is not a contingent being. His existence does not depend upon something or someone next to him or above him. God is self-existent and therefore entirely independent of everything and anything. All creatures, all of creation depends upon the independent God for their existence and the maintenance of it. Dependence upon God involves faith. Independence from God is sin. We cannot be independent from God. If we seek to be independent from God, then we cut ourselves off from the very source of life itself and abide in death. And that's what sin is. Sin is death. It kills. To turn from God is to unplug, so to speak, unplug your power of living. And death follows immediately. That's why God told Adam and Eve, if you choose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And what does Lucifer come along to do? He tries to convince them that they can be self-dependent and independent from God by violating God's command. Remember, Satan speaking through the serpent said, has God really said you shall die? You surely shall not die. Directly contradicting God's command, directly contradicting God's word, warning them. And this is what Satan does. He challenges the word of God to create in man this illusion of wanting to be independent from God, resulting in breaking God's law, violating and not believing his word. And we see that going on among men today, among the billions making up the world's population, sadly enough. Dependence upon God is what godliness is. Believing in God, who he is, what he has done, what he will do, and believing he has revealed himself through the living word, Jesus Christ, and the written word, the Holy Bible. Satan's the last of the five wills that were involved in Satan's sin, the first sin of the universe, is his self-deification. when the devil said, I will be like the Most High, he did not want to be like God as to character. That is being holy, moral, righteous. But he wanted to be like God in power. Read Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14 carefully. And you will see Satan wanted God's omnipotent power. And power without meekness, power without compassion and love is tyranny. And Satan is the father of all evil tyrants that have rudely trampled through history. Their spiritual father is the devil. We don't have time to go through some of the most famous evil dictators, but they all mirror Satan's tyrannical desire for self-deification. When he stated, I will be like the Most High God. Not like God in moral character. That is holy, righteous, morally perfect, etc. But they want to be like God in power. Satan wanted to be like God in power as to independence and being worshipped by other creatures. The devil has ever since sought to be God. He wants God's power. And God has allowed him to be the God of this age. A little g, of course. 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And this present age will close with the devil receiving worship, receiving universal worship by all the inhabitants of the earth, just as he sought from the beginning when he rebelled before the face of God while standing on his throne. So we are told in Revelation 13 that at the close of the tribulation period, which will close out the present age, Satan will be cast out of heaven and will seek to be worshipped by men on earth when he personally possesses the Antichrist. He will seek to be worshipped, and he will force that worship on the world by threatening to not allow them to live, physically live. They will have to take a mark, the mark of the beast, as a sign of their allegiance to worshiping the devil's Antichrist. And sadly, most men will do that. The penalty for not will be death, martyrdom at that time. Thus, the devil, an angelic spirit being, a created moral and free will being, rose up against God the Creator in rebellious pride and self-will. But instead of ascending to the highest heaven, he fell to the lowest depths, as Isaiah 14 will reveal. In seeking to gain something that was not rightfully his, Lucifer lost even that which was his. His self-will became the genesis of all sin. All the fruit of sin was in that germinal form or seed form. No creature could conceive the full implication of that first sin. Lucifer is the author of sin, the arch sinner. And when he started the process, when he created sin out of his own twisted and rebellious being, when it came to maturity in the universe, it brought death and destruction. And the root of sin, again, is self-centeredness. It is egocentric. The middle letter in sin is I. It is focused on I, me, and my. Sin is egotheistic. It deifies self. And when self is lifted up to God, one turns inwardly and becomes self-centered, as Lucifer did. He was self-centered, self-directing, self-reliant, and self-supporting. He became selfish. Selfishness personified Satan in his fallen state. The devil turned in upon himself, beholding his own beauty, being infatuated with his own abilities that God created him with. He then was lifted up in pride, forgetting that all he had was God-given. Don't forget that everything you are and everything you do, the talents, the good aspects that you have as a human being were given to you by God. Satan forgot this and instead coveted a higher position, even in God's own position as supreme ruler. With all of these things going on, he set his will against God's will and fell. He fell into sin. And we can go beyond the 30 minutes because we are not on a 30-minute time limitation as we were on the radio program. So let me finish out by now talking about the sinning angels. Satan's rebellion and sin first began with him. He is the author of sin. But he found co-conspirators in heaven. The scriptures indicate that other angels sinned with Lucifer. They transgressed a given law and, like Lucifer, became totally apostate and unredeemable. Satan and the third of the angels who joined him in his rebellion and became demons were then reprobate. 2 Peter 2:4, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Jude 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, or their first order, but left their own habitation, God has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And we know from Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4, that the devil drew a third part of the angelic host with him in his original sin and fall. Revelation 12, verses 3 through 4. God created all beings, archangels, I'll get it out here, and angelic hosts to do his will. God's will was to be the supreme joy of their existence. God did not create the angels as mere machines or robots who would obey without reason, intelligence, affection, or free will. No, he created each angel, starting with the greatest angel, Lucifer, with a free will, and therefore the capability of choosing either to obey God's will or that of another. Lucifer and the third of the angels that joined him in their rebellion against God all chose self-will and thus contradicted and crossed God's will. The angels which did not respond to Satan's call for rebellion against God but submitted to God's will and fought on his side are known as the elect angels, according to 2 Timothy 5:21. Their reward was sinless perfection, from which it is impossible to fall, and which made them eternally secure. However, the devil and his fallen angels, who are called demons now, the scripture tells us they, all of them, will be punished in the lake of fire for all eternity. Matthew 25:41. Revelation 20:11-15. So in closing, Satan was the original sinner. He was the author and chief architect of sin and is responsible for the entrance of sin into the universe. And his punishment will be quite severe for this in the end. Satan then led an angelic rebellion and eventually caused the fall of man through Adam, which brings us to our subject of the entrance of sin into humanity that we will look at next time. We are with you. Until then, shalom. Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.